today, and we look forward to praising the name of Jesus this morning. I want to share a quick verse from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Let's worship the Lord today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time when we can come into your house to worship you. Father, we thank you for that prophecy which was given hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. Father, how we can see that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to this earth to live among us, to show us how to live, and then to give his life for our sins. Father, we come together today to praise your holy name, to praise the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the name that which one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord of all. Father, we thank you for the love that you have for us. Bless our worship today and speak to our hearts in a mighty way. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we think about the coming of Jesus Christ, we light the candle of love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. 1 John 3:1. This is how God showed his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13, 34 through 35.
All right, let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you would not let us lose sight of the true meaning of the Christmas season, that this is not a season for materialism, but to be reminded of your Son, Jesus, and to give thanks for the far superior gift that he has made possible, that we may be forgiven of our sins and transgressions, and that a way may be made for redemption with you. We give you thanks for that, and may you just may your hand be upon us this Christmas season. May we be emboldened to go forth and proclaim the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, to those who need to hear it. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'll take that. Thank you very much. Angels. Good morning. We are going to sing our praises of love and joy to the Lord. Look at how filled this room is. Imagine infinitely more filled on the time Christ was born, with angels bursting out of heaven to sing to the earth. Angels from the realms of glory, please stand, sing with all your heart and all your soul. Angels from the realms of glory, hymn number 94.
Come and worship.
Please be seated. Do we need the lights dimmed? Or brought up? I'm sorry, Bill, can the lights be brought up? Choir and sanctuary, thank you. Our bell choir is going to play for us Adeste Fideles, Latin for O Come, All Ye Faithful. For us under the leadership of Dana Schrader and her daughter Joy and Barbara Lambert. Thank you. I'm sure you know what Pastor Glenn and I are thinking. Future choir and praise team members, we can't wait for a few more years on these. Would our ushers please come forward to take our offering, please? Our congregational song is actually a medley of Joy to the World, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, and the First Noel. We're going to sing, the choir will sing, the praise team will sing and play, you all will sing, and there are, in between each different song, there is a little instrumental break to get us to the next key. It's not all in the same key, but it is wonderful. So Pastor Glenn and I will be, he will be mostly leading and I will be co-leading. So please stand as we begin to sing, and we have a word of we have a word.
Mary must have asked herself, both in fear and wonder, why me? And we ask, why a baby? Why a stable for a king? Why would God choose this unlikely way to show himself to us? Because he had to become one of us to save us. His answer, his purpose, his reason is always love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. We love him because he first loved us. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, will encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not, along with him, graciously give us all things? The same love that pursued the hearts of men and women since creation proved itself by sending Jesus to be miraculously born and then willingly live and die for us. That love lives in our lives every day, speaking to our hearts, sharing our burdens, shining on us the light of truth.
First Noel, the angels. acoustics are not as much fun as the service in general.
When Christ was born, there was a plan for his life from birth, from before he was born. He came to save us. He came to save us. He came to save the world. The song the choir is going to sing is called Meant for Holy Scars. Excuse me, Meant for Holy Scars. And as I thought about this choral anthem, which is just beautiful, I thought that encapsulates the birth of Christ in those few words, meant for holy scars. He was born on Christmas for Easter and for 3 days after Easter. He was meant for holy scars, our scars.
Thank you. today as we gather together for worship on this Sunday before Christmas, and just to have a joint service, and in here, I am so glad we all fit, and hasn't our music ministry just done a fantastic job today? Praise God. Praise God. I want to share with you today a message about that first, that original Christmas pageant that occurred a little over 2,000 years ago. And don't laugh, it's called a VHS. For those of you who are not old enough to remember, this is what a DVD looked like before there were such things as DVDs. And if you are under 30 years old, this VHS is older than you. And believe it or not, I still at home have one of those machines that will play these things as well as DVDs. And Diane and I, at Christmas time, have certain Christmas DVDs and VHS tapes that we watch. And this is one of them. It's called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. It comes with a DVD now. Okay. This was one of those low-budget, made-for-TV Christmas programs back in 1983. It's that old. And it stars Loretta Swit. Remember, she played Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan on the MASH series so many years ago. And it tells about a Christmas pageant complete with all the trimmings. You know, there was a two-dimensional fake sheep on the stage. There's a scruffy manger scene. There is an abundance of borrowed bathrobes and fake beards and angels with, you know, wire framed wings and halos and you get the picture. It was a childhood Christmas pageant in a very formal church. This was in 1983. This was a time when kids, six-year-old boys, wore suits to church. It was that formal of a kind of a church. And there are no adults in this Christmas pageant. It's all kids. And every year, you know, all of the main characters, the wise men, Mary, Joseph, angels, they're all played by kids. Even baby Jesus is alive every year at this play. Well, except for this year. What makes this year different is that Mrs. Armstrong, who is the director of the play, got tangled up in her long telephone extension cord, fell and broke her leg. And Glory, and Grace, I'm sorry, who is played by Loretta Swit, is now the director of the play. And everything begins to go wrong. Of course, Mrs. Armstrong is always in the background saying, well, if I was directing the play, it wouldn't work like that. What makes this year different is that Mrs. Armstrong has broken her leg. There is a new director, and what also makes a difference this year is the Herdmans. How many of you have seen this video? A few of you. The rest of you are so deprived. I mean, this is something you should not ever miss, you know, because what makes the difference in this Christmas play is the Herdmans. Leroy, Ollie, Claude, Gladys, Imogene, and Ralph. These six are the nastiest kids in the entire community. Their father had abandoned them. Their mother worked a couple of jobs to provide for her children. She's unable to control them, and they are an obnoxious brood of kids. They're always getting into trouble. They're picking fights. They're lying. They're stealing. taking the Lord's name in vain. They blow up a shed in the community after they stole a chemistry set and blew up their neighbor's shed. They were these kind of kids. They were really even into illegal substances for 1983. They all smoked cigars, these little kids. But when it came time for the kids to volunteer for the annual Christmas pageant, no one volunteered. Not even Alice, who had played Mary for the last several years. She was a shoo-in for the part, but she wouldn't volunteer. It happened that the Herdmans had threatened bodily harm to any other child who volunteered. And so all of the main parts, Mary, Joseph, the wise men, the angel of the Lord, they're all volunteered by Herdmans. And disaster is looming. Parents of all the kids are upset. The other kids don't want to play, be in the play. They had to substitute a plastic baby doll for Jesus because Mrs. Slocum wasn't going to let Imogene Herdman hold her baby as baby Jesus. The angel of the Lord kept ad-libbing her lines. She's supposed to say, "Unto you is born this day," but it comes out, "Shazam! Unto you is born this day in the city of David." The rehearsals are disastrous. And that was even before the fire department arrived due to Imogene smoking a cigar in the restroom and everyone thinking the church is on fire. And Reverend Hopkins is afraid that no one's going to show up at the pageant. Well, it turns out everybody wants to show up at this pageant to see what it's like. And in the end, to everyone's surprise, it turns out to be the greatest Christmas pageant ever at that church. The climax of the program comes when the third wise man, a Herdman, who thought that frankincense was a stupid gift to give to Jesus, he's nowhere to be found. And for a brief moment, the choir thinks they're going to have to sing "We Two Kings of Orient Are," because he doesn't show up. But finally, at the last possible moment, he brings a substitute gift for frankincense. And suddenly the whole play is transformed. And what they thought was going to be a disaster turned into the best Christmas pageant ever. Well, as you can imagine, there was a lot going on behind the scenes at that Christmas pageant. Can you imagine being the director? Can you imagine trying to herd the kids to herd Herdmans in different directions? There was a lot going on behind the scenes in that video, that film. And today I want us to think about what might have been going on behind the scenes in heaven during the original Christmas pageant of nearly 2,000 years ago. And as we envision the story of Christ's birth in our minds, do we ever think about what was going on in heaven? What was going on in heaven behind the scenes? For instance, have you ever noticed how busy the angels are throughout the Christmas story? What the angels are doing. Several of you in Sunday school were studying the Luke chapter 2 passage today. Have you ever noticed how busy the angels are? And have you ever read the story of Christmas from the angel's perspective. I mean, God really kept the angels busy during this time. Imagine for a moment up in heaven, you're in the throne room of heaven, and God summons an angel named Gabriel. And he says, Gabriel, I've got a job for you. Here's your orders for the day. There's a man named Zacharias I want you to talk to. He's going to be in the temple. He's going to be offering incense. The lot has been cast. It's his turn. I want you to give a message to him. I want you to tell him that his wife Elizabeth's going to have a baby. I want you to tell him, name him John. I want you to tell him that he's going to be a great prophet. I want you to tell him that he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to tell from birth. I want you to tell him that many people are going to come to know me because of his witness. I want you to tell him that he's going to be preparing the way for the Messiah. Now, we don't have time today to read all of these passages of Scripture, but you read about what the angel Gabriel told Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. You've got your orders, Gabriel. That's what I want you to do. Now, I've got a second job for you, Gabriel. I want you to go and I want you to find Mary. I want you to tell her that she's highly favored. I want you to tell her that she's going to be with child, even though she's a virgin. She's going to conceive, but it's okay because the child that is within her is going to be called my son, and I'm going to give him the throne of his father. And he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. There's going to be no end to his kingdom. Gabriel, this is your orders. You tell her that. It's all in the background. All up there in heaven, God had to give those orders at some point to his angels, right? And then there's another angel mentioned in the text of Scripture, the angel of the Lord. A lot of thought about who the angel of the Lord is. We're not going to go there for today. But he is summoned to the throne room of God, and he is summoned to speak to Joseph. Tell Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You can read that message in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. And then he says, and after you speak to Joseph, a little bit later, here's another order for you. I want you to speak to some shepherds in Bethlehem. I want you to tell them not to be afraid. I want you to tell them that you're bringing great news of great joy to them. Tell them that today in the city of David, a Savior is born, Christ is born, that you'll find him wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. We read about that in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And he says, God, I can imagine God in his throne room. And while you're at it, summons all of the angels, the heavenly host. Muster up all the angels in heaven. Tell them to accompany you when you speak to the shepherds. Tell them, give them a show that they're going to remember the rest of their lives. And I can almost hear the angel of the Lord carrying out the order. Okay, you heavenly hosts, line up. Shorter angels in front, taller in back. And then God gives to that angel of the Lord another message. Hey, you've got to speak to Joseph again. That Herod is going to try to mess up this plan. Appear to Herod in a dream. Tell him, skedaddle to Egypt. Read it in Matthew chapter 2. The angels are really busy in this Christmas account. God's been giving orders right and left. I imagine the angels are busier during this time period than they've been for the last few hundred years. And as you think about God in heaven giving these orders to the angels, this is what I want you to do. I imagine angels will converse with themselves. Can you imagine the chit-chat going on in heaven among all of the angels when these orders are being given out? Can you imagine? We haven't been so busy for hundreds of years, all these things. Hey, wow, it's beginning to happen. It's been 400 years since there's been a prophet. And now we are told to announce that John is to be born and that he's going to be a prophet and he's going to prepare the way. What's going to happen next? What we have been hearing about for so long, it's about to happen. A prophet's going to be born. Prophecies of old are finally coming to pass. The Messiah's about to come. We always knew it would happen one day, but the timetable was in God's hands. We didn't know when it was going to happen or exactly how, but it's happening right now. Can you imagine the excitement of the angels when they start getting these orders? That what they have been hearing about and seeing glimpses of and getting little ideas about for so many centuries, now it was coming to pass. And have you ever thought about what was going on behind the scenes with Jesus and the Heavenly Father before Jesus came to earth as a baby? There is an amazing glimpse of that in Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Because Hebrews chapter 10 includes the very words that Jesus spoke to God the Father immediately before Jesus came to earth as a baby. It wasn't until a couple of months ago I even realized that. I had read the book of Hebrews I don't know how many times. But behind, we've got a behind-the-scenes glimpse of what happened in heaven, a conversation between Jesus and the Heavenly Father immediately before Jesus comes to earth. As Jesus is saying his farewell to the Father and to the angels in heaven, as he lays aside his heavenly glory and steps down from heaven to enter earth as a baby, to be born in a Bethlehem stable, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. These are Jesus' words as he departs heaven. It says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." I want you to notice a couple of things about that text. I want you to notice, when did this happen? Well, it says when Christ came into the world. This is a behind-the-scenes event from the original Christmas pageant. Who's speaking? Christ is speaking to God. And one of the interesting things he says here, he's actually partially quoting words from King David in Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 through 8. Under the inspiration of God, some of these words originally applied to King David, but now their fulfillment, the fullness of these words, is applied to Christ Jesus Christ, is applied to Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Two main things he says to God the Father when he came into the world. He says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased." That's verses 5 through 7. Christ is leaving glory of heaven to be born in human flesh. And, why has God prepared for him a body? He says, "You have prepared a body for me." Why has God prepared him a body? Well, God has prepared for him a human body to accomplish what other sacrifices and burnt offerings and sin offerings, all of those things that we read about in the Old Testament, to accomplish what they could not accomplish. Christ would be the true sacrifice. He's saying, "A body you prepared for me so that I could be the true sacrifice for the world." You see, the whole Old Testament is pointing to this moment. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus Christ. We read in the verses immediately preceding this, verses 1 through 5, about how in the Old Testament we see shadows or glimpses of God's true plan for eternity. See little glimpses of it, and the reality of it is yet to come. It is about to happen now that Jesus enters into the world. Look at verses 1, Hebrews 10, 1. It speaks of shadows. It says, the law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the reality of themselves. For this reason, it can never be by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all. They would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But these sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. What those verses are saying is the whole Old Testament has prepared for this moment that's about to come, for Jesus to leave heaven and to come to earth. The whole Old Testament is kind of pointed forward. It's given glimpses, shadowy images of what is about to take place. And what is about to take place is the reality that God doesn't want sacrifice and burnt offerings of animals. God has prepared Jesus a body so that he could be the perfect sacrifice. And I can imagine the angels up in heaven thinking about all of those shadows and images of the Old Testament. They kind of pointed to this moment. I mean, they knew the scriptures. They knew Isaiah, which said, behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. They knew the scriptures. It was coming to pass. Right now, God's given the orders. It's about to happen. They knew the prophecies of Isaiah, of the sacrificial death that Jesus was to offer. Isaiah 53, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, afflicted, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The angels had heard all of that, and now it was coming to pass. And I can imagine the angels chit-chatting back and forth in heaven and said, oh, it's beginning to make sense. It's all beginning to fall into place. Remember Abel, when he offered an acceptable animal sacrifice on the altar? It was a glimpse, a shadow of a future sacrifice that was going to come. And another angel might say, oh yeah, I remember Abraham when he went to offer Isaac up on Mount Moriah, and God provided the lamb. Now the fulfillment, the fullness of that is coming. God has provided the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. And another angel said, oh yeah, and remember Moses, when he called on people to sacrifice the Passover lamb and to paint the blood on the doorpost so that the Passover angel, the death angel, would pass over. And there was a great deliverance. Now we understand that spoke of a greater deliverance that is occurring now. At this moment, we have seen shadows of the past. And now the reality is about to occur. Jesus is getting ready to leave heaven and come to earth in fulfillment of it all. I can imagine another angel thinking about old Rahab. You remember Rahab, the harlot in Jericho, who helped the spies, and they told her, put a scarlet thread on your window, hang it on your window, so that when we come and we invade Jericho, we will spare your home. She was delivered because of the scarlet thread. And I can imagine an angel coming alongside. It's kind of like there was a scarlet thread through the entire Old Testament that gave hints and shadows of what was about to come. And now the reality is Jesus is getting ready to leave heaven to come to earth. And so We witness Christ's last conversation with God before he steps into the world. Again, verse 5. When Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. You wanted me, your son, to die on the cross. Here I am, Jesus said. I have come to do your will, O God. Our text ends with these final words of Jesus to the Father before he becomes an infant in the manger. He's resolute. Nothing is going to deter him from following the Father's plan to be the true sacrifice for all mankind. So just as Christ is leaving heaven to walk onto the stage where the curtain would rise for the original Christmas pageant, our Lord turns to God the Father and he says, sacrifice, an offering you didn't desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you're not pleased. And then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. It's written about me in the scriptures. I have come to do your will, O God. You see, this Christmas story that is so celebrated with pageants and songs and the reading of the traditional Christmas story, this Christmas story is far more than a sweet little Christmas pageant about the birth of a holy child in humble surroundings. The behind-the-scenes story of Christmas is totally the story of the cross. Jesus' parting words to the Father before he came, here I am to do your will, O God. You didn't want the burnt offerings, but you prepared a body for me so that I could be the sacrifice. The behind-the-scenes story of Christmas is totally the story of the cross. The time had come for there to be no more shadows. The time had arrived for God himself in human flesh to step out of heaven onto earth and to bring into human history true salvation. How do you respond to such a great gift as this? Well, our Lord declared he had to come to do the Father's will, and I want to encourage every one of you. The Father has a will for your life. And the behind-the-scenes story of Christmas is the cross. And the will that he has for you is that you understand you don't deserve heaven. You're not going to get there on your own. You are a sinner lost in your sins, but he has provided the ultimate sacrifice. He has provided Jesus, who in his very coming to earth knew the reason for his coming. And his last words to the Father defined the reason for his coming. He came to die for you. And if you have not placed your trust and your faith in this Jesus, not only of the manger, but the Jesus of the cross, if you haven't done that, you've missed the Christmas story. Don't miss the Christmas story this year. Place your trust and faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you today The greatest Christmas pageant of all was not one featuring the Herdmans. It was the one that featured your son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. And Father, I pray today that every person who is in this room might know the true behind-the-scenes story of Christmas. It's all about the cross. And Father, I pray that every person in this room has placed their trust and faith in a Savior who died there for them. What a glorious message of forgiveness and mercy and grace. So, Lord, it's our turn now. It's our turn now to respond to that great pageant. Will we place our trust and faith in Jesus? Lord, speak that every person here in this room might hear. And Lord, we pray that all will seek to do your will, O God, in following Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand, please? And as we close our service, I know it's a little tight up front here, but there's room up here if you want to come to the front and kneel at the altar and pray. And there's room if you have never made Jesus Christ, to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, there's room for you to come up here and to share that with me so that I can share with a congregation of people that you have heard the back scene, that you understand the background scene of Jesus' birth. So would you come as we sing? If this church is a place where is a congregation where you want to make this your church home, you're invited also to respond as the Holy Spirit leads. Would you come as we sing?
We'll sing verses 1 and 3 of What Child Is This, hymn number 118.
Not only have we chosen to do the will of the Heavenly Father by trusting in Jesus our Savior, but Father, we will, as that last song says, haste to bring Him laud, to bring Him glory and honor in all that we do. May we go from this place, Father. May we go like the shepherds who just had to tell everybody about Jesus. May we go from this place giving glory and honor to you, for you are worthy of our praise. We pray it all in the name of Jesus.
Let's go out together this morning on Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Bless you. Have a great Christmas.